This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Club of Rutland. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the July 31st edition of The Landmark. This is Michael Carr. First up, we have Remington Retiring After 25 Years at Library Helm by Ken Cleveland. The Rutland Free Public Library was busier than usual July 23rd as patrons marked Carrie Remington's retirement. Remington, who has been director at the Rutland Free Public Library for 25 years, moved from person to person in the crowded rooms. In conversations wishing her well in retirement, people also recalled her impact on the library. Gifts and tributes flowed in as friends and associates stopped by. Remington has been a force at the library since she stepped into the director's role, taking the helm as the library was working on getting a new home built. In 2000, she moved from the assistant director role, which she had filled since 1995, and became acting director. When it came time to seek a grant to help with the new building, she ended up in the role of director as she took the reins to guide the building project. The $200,000 reimbursement from the State Board of Library Commissioners helped that project. The library recently celebrated its 25th year in the building, but it has not always been smooth sailing. By 2008, the library budget of $160,000 was an issue, and budget cuts trimmed staff. Remington said some of the challenges. Remington took a 25% salary cut to help bring the assistant director back, she said. This year has been something of a flashback, with 17 town employees affected by the budget cuts when the override effort failed. The library took a 21% budget cut this year. But Remington has collected plenty of good memories. Over the years, she has seen babies growing in their mommy's bellies and coming back with their own babies. And the library remains a magnet for residents. They keep coming back, she said of library users. Many patrons, young readers and visitors, cannot stay away from the library. Some leave Rutland and come back. The library has done nothing but make the town look good, Remington said, even being a key factor in some people choosing to make their homes in town. They chose Rutland because of the library. The library is a center of the community for many. I know I've made an impact on the community, Remington said. It feels good. Others shared their appreciation, including a citation from State Representative Kim Ferguson and messages from those attending. The Rutland Select Board also chose Remington for the Moses Howe Award for Excellence in Public Service, noting she has fostered a welcoming environment at the library with program offerings, events, and youth activities. As she leaves, she will be finishing her current book, Exodus, Remington said. Her exodus will not be one way. She will be coming back for more books, to visit, and to stay connected with the Teen Advisory Board. And while enjoying retirement, she will continue to be part of the library community, as well as the Rutland community in which she grew up. But as Remington retires, she hopes to enjoy some quiet time. Not that she won't be seen in the library, but it will no longer be a job, she noted, just a passion. Next up, Boston 25 Zip Trip Comes to Rutland by Danielle Ray. Boston 25 News recently came to town for the station's Zip Trip Summer Series, and people of all ages got in on the fun. Jean Levanchi, Nicole Gabe, and Sherry Spear and their morning crew were live from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. July 24th at Memorial Field. A long list of local groups, businesses, and individuals were featured in the segment, including Coffeelands, Maple Ave Diner, Alpaca Lips Farm, and the Wachusett Regional High School girls basketball team. We were approached by Boston 25 in February, and their production team has been wonderful to work with throughout the process, Rutland Town Administrator Heather Butler said. They clearly have the Zip Trip format down to a science and have been incredibly thorough in their planning and outreach. They connected with dozens of residents, business owners, community organizations, and town departments to make sure Rutland is represented in an authentic and meaningful way. Every Friday during the summer, the Boston 25 Morning News team broadcasts live from a different community in Massachusetts. For more than 20 years, the show has highlighted the people, businesses, and organizations that are the heart of a city or town in the Commonwealth. Rutland resident Randy Jordan was selected as the hometown hero for the town's Zip Trip, our first and only choice, according to Butler. His dedication, volunteerism, and commitment to the community make him an outstanding representative of Rutland, she said. Simply put, no one could fill that role better than he can. Sherry Rolfe, a member of the Hope Lives Here Board of Directors, was interviewed along with many others tied to town, such as police, entrepreneurs, and more. And the Central Tree Middle School Band treated attendees to live music. In addition, representatives from Air and Army National Guard, Planet Fitness, Lamachia Realty, Southwick Zoo, and the Eternal Health were on hand. The Rutland Business Association, Rutland Historical Society, Rutland Little League, and the Rutland Sportsman Club were some of the town entities included. An off-the-hook roadside eatery food truck posted on social media about their experience. Neighboring Sterling had its own Boston 25 Zip Trip experience in August 2023. Butler said Rutland being selected to be featured during the summer season means the world to us. It's a great opportunity to showcase everything that makes Rutland such a special place to live, work, and raise a family, she said. We're proud of our community and excited to share our story with a broader audience. Next up, Tasting Event Unites Sterling Market Vendors by Ken Cleveland. As shoppers browse the vendors at the Sterling Street Market on the town common, they can sometimes get samples of produce and items such as baked goods and coffee before they decide on purchases. On August the 1st, several vendors joined together to offer a coordinated sampling opportunity. Microgreens, salsa, bread, and coffee offer combination options as well. Let's see how a collaborative could work, Gabriel Lopez recalled, fellow vendor Mark Parker saying during a conversation. Parker's We Might Microgreens have already attracted repeat customers at the weekly Saturday morning market on the Sterling Common and are popular at the farmers market where he sells, including Holden and Rutland. When his newest microgreen, cantaloupe, was introduced, customers tried it, and they were sold on adding the offering to their purchases. Lopez, with his wife Brittany, sells Miss Judy's salsa and was sold on the idea. There are combinations that go well, Lopez said. He said Parker was super attractive, building bridges between vendors. Market organizer Jane Morgan was also supportive, coordinating adjoining spaces for those participating. When most people are at the market, they do think of different ways to combine things, Parker said. I love to find a microcosm combining various vendors who often become friends, he said. We encourage each other and share things. This market is so unique, Parker said, with a combination of a lot of creative people and a wide variety of items from the edible to the wearable. The goal is to share their products through a taste testing where the complementary items can be combined. Because it is such a unique tasting experience, it lends toward creativity in the kitchen, Lopez said. It's a good way of making unexpected combinations work well. The vendors and many of their customers already explore flavor combination to various degrees. The tasting experience could open more people to more combinations. Lopez specializes in salsa ranging from mild to chest hair and smooth reaper. They can be combined with other things to balance or highlight certain attributes. Sourdough with some salsa? Sourdough with salsa and microgreens? Add a sip of coffees from Microcosm Coffee Roasters of West Boylston, ranging from light to dark, sourced from Ethiopia, Mexico, and Guatemala, and roasted locally. The tasting experiences could allow for all sorts of combinations. Also involved in the tasting plans is Corey Rufo of Sour Wolf Bread. With crusty classic loaves, fluffy sandwich breads, sourdough English muffins, and sweeter choices like brown sugar cinnamon and chocolate chip swirl loaves. Microcosm Coffee Roasters of West Boylston will also be participating in future tastings, although they are unable to be at the initial tasting event. There's something great about local businesses setting up side by side instead of just coexisting at the same market. When someone can try Mark's microgreens and Gabrielle's salsa on Corey's sourdough, then grab a cup of coffee to go with it, that's a genuinely better morning for everyone. It's something whole rather than disparate parts, Microcosm owner Ben Liker said. But also, it's also more than that. It's exactly why we named the business Microcosm Coffee. The idea is that these small local connections and collaborations are a microcosm of something bigger, the kind of connected unity community we're all trying to build. One relationship at a time. It's not just business, Liker said. The market is open most Saturdays during the summer from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Next up, Holden to fill school committee vacancy by Ken Cleveland. Meredith Pugh, who was elected to the Wachusett Regional School District Committee at Holden Spring Town election this year, has resigned. This opens a seat the Board of Selectmen can fill until the next town election. The board at its July 21st meeting discussed the process of filling the seat and is giving those interested in serving in the position 30 days to submit a letter of interest. The board can then interview and select a new school committee representative at its September 14th meeting, noting its August 17th meeting could leave too little time for people to consider applying, especially during the summer. The board will choose a person to fill the seat. At the next town election, that person will have to run to retain the seat for the remainder of the three-year term. The school committee meets again September the 22nd, so the new member could start with the next meeting. On her Facebook page, Pugh wrote on July 24th, "I took a job as a reading specialist with the Wachusett Regional School District, so I had to resign from school committee. While I'm very excited about this new job, I am sad to leave school committee." Town manager Peter Lukes said, "The process now calls for the Board of Selectmen to replace her with a registered voter from Holden, and that person will hold the position until the next annual municipal election." Lukes said his office would post the vacancy and timeline for submitting resumes and letters of interest. The board would then conduct interviews. Next up, Sterling awarded grant for public safety by Jan Gottsman. The town's emergency departments are benefiting from a large state grant for public safety. The Sterling Police and Fire Departments, in partnership with the Neshoba Valley Regional District Dispatch, announced the award of a $3.6 million public safety grant from the Massachusetts State 911 Department to modernize emergency communications equipment and infrastructure and improve the security of the town's police and fire station buildings. The grant will support the replacement of aging and increasingly obsolete mobile and portable radios, as well as the radio repeater equipment that forms the backbone of emergency communications for Sterling's first responders. In addition, the grant will fund video, security, and building access enhancements at both the police and fire stations, and provide modern means of alerting and transmitting call information to responders working in emergency scenes. This is not the original work proposed in the failed override, but part of the town's entry into the regional dispatch center, Town Administrator Bill Caldwell said. Adding some things that need to upgrade at the light department and DPW are not covered by the grant. Reliable communications are among the most essential tools available to police officers, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, according to a press release from the police and fire chiefs. This project will equip Sterling's first responders with modern, fully interoperable communications equipment that improves coverage, enhances reliability, and strengthens coordinations between agencies during emergencies. The upgraded radio system will also better position Sterling and its regional partners to respond effectively to large-scale incidents, mutual aid responses, and natural disasters. This grant represents a major investment in public safety and the most significant one-time improvement the town has ever been able to make in the technology that serves our first responders, Sterling Fire Chief Thomas Kokernak said. This technology is essential for us to provide the level of service our residents have come to expect from us. We are grateful for this funding and for the partnership that we have with the Sterling Police Department and Neshoba Valley Regional Dispatch District in bringing this project to fruition. Sterling Police Chief Sean Gaudette added, Public safety depends on reliable communications and secure facilities. This funding allows us to replace aging equipment before failures occur while strengthening the security of our stations. These improvements will have a significant impact on our day-to-day operations. Officials from Neshoba Valley Regional Dispatch District said the project reflects the value of regional collaboration in strengthening emergency communications across the area. Work on the project is expected to begin in the coming months, with planning, procurement, and installation occurring in phases to ensure uninterrupted emergency services throughout the implementation process. Kokernak said the override that was defeated last fall was to fund replacement and upgrade of radio equipment used by the Light Department and DPW and did not qualify for funding under this grant. The radio and system operates on a network and on infrastructure that is completely independent of that which is used by the Fire and Police Department, Kokernak said. I am working with our radio engineer right now to come up with a plan to leverage this funding within the limits of the rules of the grant award to overlay the Sterling Municipal Light Department and DPW radio networks on the locations used by police and fire. By doing this, we could eliminate the cost associated with data networking, power supplies, backup power equipment, and other expensive RF gear that will already be in place for the fire and police systems that otherwise would need to be purchased and installed at the Light Department and DPW radio sites, the fire chief said. If we can approach the problem from that angle, we could potentially knock down the cost associated with updating the SMLD and DPW systems significantly. Next up, in school news, scholarships awarded. Across the region, organizations have awarded scholarships to students in the class of 2026. Here are a few that shared the good news with the landmark. Wachusett Regional High School 50th Reunion Scholarship. The WRHS Class of 1975 is pleased to announce Antoni Galomo of Paxton as the inaugural recipient of the WRHS 50th Reunion Scholarship. Antoni is the son of Anna and Yanush Galomo. Antoni will attend Worcester State University this fall to study business and forensic science. The scholarship gives back to the WRHS community through continued alumni support and will be awarded annually to a WRHS senior pursuing post-secondary education at a four-year college, two-year college, technical school, or a certificate program. Holden Grange Scholarship. Holden Grange awarded its W. Sumner and Howard L. Jordan Scholarship to Jemma Palili of Holden. In the fall, she will be attending the University at Albany, majoring in atmospheric science. Jemma's goal of becoming a meteorologist began early on. In her essay to apply for the scholarship, she wrote, "Weather has been my primary interest for my entire life, even when I was as young as 3 or 4, and I've set myself up in every possible way to study meteorology in college. I have done a job shadowing at the National Weather Service. I've shadowed meteorology college classes. And I've also attended a summer camp that was all about meteorology. I'm thrilled that I finally get to attend college and study the subject I've been interested in for my entire life." The Grange Scholarship is named in memory of former members, two brothers who owned and operated Jordan Dairy Farms, now run by the fifth and sixth generations. Jason S. Bradshaw Memorial Scholarships. Proudly announcing winners of the Jason Bradshaw Memorial Scholarships at Wachusett Regional High School's graduation June the 6th. Each recipient received a $1,000 scholarship. This scholarship is awarded to graduating students who persevered through health, learning, or other challenges and has continued for 33 years. The deserving student recipients are Jemma Palili, daughter of Jennifer and Joseph Palili, will be attending the University of Albany, majoring in atmospheric science. Lillian Guzman, daughter of Elizabeth and Angel Guzman Rodriguez, will be attending Gordon College, majoring in health science. The corner shop at the First Congregational Church of Holden has awarded three $2,000 scholarships to area students. The 2026 recipients are Jocelyn McDonough of Holden and Stephanie Gunarinko of Rutland and Mia Kreiser of Jefferson. Jocelyn is attending Amherst College studying chemistry. Stephanie plans to attend Worcester Polytech Institute, majoring in electrical engineering, and Mia will attend Liberty University, majoring in psychology. In addition to the scholarships, the Corner Shop, which specializes in gently used clothing, made donations to 9 local charities in the past year. The Massachusetts Society of Certified Public Accountants, Mass CPAs, has announced that Maxim Rabkin and Mark Zolot of Holden were awarded scholarships by the Mass CPAs Educational Foundation's 2026 scholarship program. 50 students were honored for their awards at Mass CPAs' annual member-wide networking event, Connect 2026, on May 13th. The two local residents received the following scholarships. Rabkin of Wachusett Regional High School received the Emerging Scholar Award. Zolot, attending Northeastern University, received the Mass CPAs Gold Alliance Scholarship. It's truly inspiring to see the talent and drive of this year's scholarship winners, said Zach Dona, CAE President and CEO of Mass CPAs. Their commitment to excellence gives us great confidence that the accounting profession in Massachusetts will continue to thrive under their leadership. We are honored to play a role in their success and extend our deepest gratitude to the donors and volunteers who make this investment in our future possible. In other news, Wachusett goings on. Paxton Garden Club. PMAGC is hosting summer farmers markets as a fundraiser to support the community garden project. 2 more markets will be held, 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., August 13th and September the 10th, behind the COA building at 17 West Street, in the COA basement in the case of inclement weather. Artisan goods, fresh cut flowers, and farm foods will be offered. Massasoit Art Guild Show. 5 members of the Massasoit Art Guild and Spencer are displaying their artwork at the Paxson Senior Center, 17 West Street. The show runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. weekdays through August. Come enjoy the exhibit and vote for Best in Show. All are welcome. The Richards Memorial Library is located at 44 Richards Ave in Paxton. The library is closed Saturday when Monday is a holiday. The library is open Tuesday and Thursday, 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Continent Public Library is located at 4 Meeting House Hill Road in Sterling and is open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Sterling Senior Center at 36 Muddy Pond Road can be reached at 978-422-3032. The center is open Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Fridays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch is served daily at 11:30 a.m. No reservations required, $3 suggested donation. Sterling Day Food Pantry at Wheat Community Connections, third Tuesday each month. The van leaves SSC at 9:45 a.m. High grocery prices have made it difficult for many, and Sterling residents can self-shop for a week's worth of groceries for all members of the household. Sheepdog Demonstration. The Princeton Agricultural Commission invites the public to watch a sheepdog demonstration at Mesa Farm in Rutland on Saturday, August the 15th at 6 p.m. The presentation is free and donations are appreciated. A working border collie and her owner and trainer, Dale Perkins, will demonstrate how a dog can utilize with a small flock of sheep. In addition to the herding demo, Dale will discuss training and care of the dog as well as share basic knowledge about managing a sheep flock producing grass-fed lamb. Fall Art Show in Sterling, September the 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and on September the 27th from 12 noon to 4 p.m. put on by the Sterling Arts Collaborative and held at the 1835 Town Hall located at 31 Main Street in Sterling. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org. Or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Michael Carr. Thank you for listening.
Would you like to hear news from Charlton, Southbridge, and Sturbridge that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
This is Bird Note. We often think of birds migrating south in the fall, but many species kick off their big trips surprisingly early in the year. Shorebirds nesting in the Arctic tundra are an extreme example. Birds like this American golden plover have a small window of time to build a nest, find a mate, and lay eggs in the short Arctic growing season. Golden plovers actually leave their juvenile young behind to begin flying south in mid-summer. But don't worry. At that point, the juveniles are already taking care of themselves and can find their own way to South America later in the year. What that means for people living below the Arctic Circle in North America is that shorebirds begin reappearing on beaches, mudflats, and grasslands in July and August. Unlike the rapid flight north in the spring, shorebirds take their time in the fall, following the weather patterns and stopping for a while when they find a good spot for food. So for shorebirds, it's like summer's over as soon as it began. Another way to look at it? Every month of the year has a big event for birds' life cycles, and there's always something new for us to witness. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
John F. Kennedy was the youngest person elected to the presidency. How could it be that he was the second youngest man to hold this office?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Teddy Roosevelt assumed the position because of a death. JFK was 43 when he was elected to the office. Vice President Teddy Roosevelt, however, was 42 years of age when he was sworn in as president after the assassination of President McKinley.
And now back to our regular programming.
This is a public service announcement from the Massachusetts Association for the Blind. The Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired provides assistive technology training for persons with visual impairments. If you or a family member are interested in receiving one-on-one specialized training, please contact 617-991-7073 or email atcenter@mabcommunity.org.